Yes. Thanks, brother. We do a lot of ministry into KZN together. Julius loves the gospel, and it's just been a privilege and a pleasure to partner with him over the last few weeks. We were in Newcastle a few weeks ago, when Rob was out early in the year. He did some of the interpreting for Rob, and that passionate, gospel-loving preaching, full gospel, just comes flowing out of your life, Julius. So we appreciate you, and great to see you, brother. Also, while we're talking about that, we are an apostolic church. As if you were here 2 weeks ago, you would have heard that's one of the conclusions we're coming to in our study of Romans, is that we're an apostolic church. That means we also are going and engaging church. And right now, we've got Graham and Kay Jones up in northern India, just doing an amazing work, working with pastors, working with the poorest of the poor. And would you just agree with me for a moment, as we just lift them up, their health, their safety, their provision, their issues back home that they're going through and facing. We lift them up to you, Lord, as if they were standing right here in our presence this morning. And we put our hands on them. And we say, God bless you and keep you. God make his face shine upon you. Give you courage. Give you strength. Show you which way to go. That you'll hear the leading of the Spirit clearly. And the boldness with which you declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We pray for signs to confirm and follow this wonderful message, as many are healed and saved, and blind see and deaf hear, and the gospel is preached to the poor, to the glory of God. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 So where was I? Strung up bows. Find peace and joy in your love with Jesus over this time. I want to invite those taking up the collection, please, would you come as we prepare to take up a morning offering. Thanks to those families that are part of this church who partner with us through their prayer, through their involvement, through their giving. And giving is a big part. As you know, there are bills to pay, and there's a need in this house to pay its bills on time. And we thank God that we come to the end of another 12 months or 11 months, and we've seen just the faithfulness of God's people and God through his people in providing. So we give God all the glory, and amen. Thanks. We can do that. We started off the year, in fact, end of last year, painting a framework for this epistle to the Romans that Paul wrote. And it's a message written to the church, for the church, about the church. And as we've gone through it chapter by chapter, we've unpacked the gospel message in its different aspects. An understanding of Romans is very healthy to understanding the rest of the New Testament. Did you hear what I just said? Understanding this epistle of Romans gives you the right paradigms to approach many of other New Testament, the shorter letters. Seeing that God chose and anointed Paul to pen two-thirds of the letters and of the New Testament, it's important for us to go to those letters with a good gospel basis. And he does this in Romans. So it's been a lot of time. It's been a lot of focus. It's been a little bit of history here, a little bit of geography there, a little bit of philosophy here, a little bit of theology there. We've learned some of those big words. But as we come to the end of this book, and I just stopped in amazement that a letter penned under the anointing of the Holy Spirit nearly 2,000 years ago, the richness that the Holy Spirit brings upon it when it is still taught and preached to build into the church the gospel. You see, there's a very real community Paul is writing to. That's what I love about the scripture. I love the Bible. I make no apology for that. I love the Bible. And as long as I'm privileged to be in this place, I want to teach the Word of God. Amen? And the amazing thing about the Word of God is there's like this human aspect to it and this divine aspect to it. A little bit like Jesus, the Word. Jesus was human fully and divine fully. And the Word of God is also like that. It's human in the sense that it's someone really writing to people with challenges, but it's divine in the sense that when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it brings truth and life and sets people free. And Paul is writing to a church because he needed to establish a base that he could, in a community of believers in Rome, continue spreading the gospel into Western Europe. But he's aware that there's some cultural challenges going on. They had their own rainbow nation. They had the Hebrew believers and the Greek believers, and there were minorities and there was a majority, and there was a bit of classicism going on. And in the midst of all this, Paul sees a much bigger picture. I wish Richard and Heather were here this morning. I could just commend them on the play last week. They caught something of a culture. And it wasn't just entertainment. It was prophetic as well. And Paul saw this bride, every tongue, every tribe, every people, every age, not this limited to a homogeneous little group of the same type people, but this broad-based church that was going to have the power to incorporate the haves and the have-nots, the Hebrews and the Jews, the all kinds of people into this community. But there was this division. They had their own challenges, their own classicism. And he has to write to make sure that they are reconciled, because this is the power of the gospel, is to reconcile people. And how does he go about his task? Well, as we've been looking this year, he outlines the gospel clearly, because the gospel is the power of salvation. It's a power unto salvation because it brings a new right standing. You see, the Hebrew, this is the problem with culture and differences in understanding culture, is everyone thinks their culture's right. Whatever you are, wherever you at, for you, what you eat, dress, listen to, enjoy, that's right for you. But the other group also feel that way. It's right for them. So instead of trying to deal with who's right, he goes straight to the righteousness of God. And that's what the gospel is all about. And he introduces that in chapter 1. But he makes sure that they understand that they're all in the same problem. Haves and have-nots, majorities and minorities, this whole rainbow nation in Rome, they understand. So in chapter 2, he makes sure they know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he levels the playing ground between all humanity. And in chapter 3, he rises to the crescendo of saying, but now a new righteousness, a new right standing that we have. More important than what social, economic, culture group you came out of is that there's a new right standing, that when you're in that right standing, and the other is in that right standing, and the other is in that right standing, there's a unity there that the world cannot produce. The world cannot manufacture. It's a unity around the gospel. A new righteousness by faith, he says. And then he has to spend the whole of chapter 4 reminding them that this faith started before the Jewish law was given to Abraham, who was the man of faith. God has always been pleased by faith. And God is still pleased by faith. And Abraham brought his confession into agreement with God. And that's how faith operates. And we looked at that sometime this year, about affirming and standing and speaking the promises of God in every area of our life and not giving up, giving our faith something to work on and declaring it. Faith pleases God. God is a faith God. He had this relationship with Abraham. And then that brings us into therefore being justified by faith. Romans 5 begins to unpack this topic of justification, this new nature that you're given. In first Adam, sin was given to you irrespective of what you did or didn't do. Through what Jesus did, a new righteousness is imputed to you. Irrespective of what you do or don't do, you just got to believe, because in the same way that death came through sin, righteousness comes to those who receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace will reign in life by Christ Jesus. And it sounds so good at this point that his critics could object and say, what you're teaching here, Paul, is going to lead to licentiousness. So he spends the whole of chapter 6 talking about, why would you want to be so dumb and still breathe? You were a slave. You're out of slavery. Why do you want to go back into slavery? Come on, guys. You got set free from sin so that you could live free, not so that you could go back and fiddle there. Amen? And just so that the law lovers in their midst, those mixing law and grace, get it, he takes chapter 7 and contrasts the picture of, if we're married to the law, we will always have our shortcomings pointed out. If you're married to the law, you will always feel disqualified. You'll never feel good enough. You'll never feel like you've arrived. You've got to die to that marriage. And when you die to that marriage and you're resurrected in a new marriage, born into a new relationship with Jesus, then you can say, who shall overcome this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, which ushers into chapter 8, verse 1. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation. You see, there's a reason to the therefore. The reason is what he's just been establishing for the last few chapters. And the therefore means that it's therefore a reason, and it's so that we can live free from condemnation, married to Jesus Christ as our new husband, so one with him, and now the Spirit of the Son is poured into our hearts, so we cry, Abba, Father. We no longer have to be preoccupied with what the flesh wants. We don't owe it anything, but we are preoccupied and live according to the Spirit who He's given us. And if we don't have that Spirit, we're not sons of God, but we are sons of God. Therefore, we can cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit knows our weaknesses. And the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. As we pray with groans, and we looked about the middle of the year about the importance of praying in the Spirit. Church, praying in tongues is the electricity dynamic that keeps the motors turning. You got to pray in the Spirit. You got to keep praying in the Spirit. Don't give up praying in the Spirit. Those who pray in the Spirit can discern spiritual things spiritually. I'm telling you, I've seen it from experience and years of doing this. I believe that of all the gifts, that one is given to you for personal edification for a reason. Do not give up in this area. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. He ends chapter 8 on such a high note. And now he's going to spend 3 chapters talking about the culture difference. And first he gives the Gentiles a bit of a slap on the wrist by reminding them that they were just a wild olive branch that was put into a real olive tree. And then he also speaks and he corrects the Jewish brothers because they sought for a righteousness that was by the law. But he's pleading with them. He's longing that they'll understand that God has always been a faith God and that it's not about the righteousness that comes through being a closed little community, eating only certain ways, dressing certain ways, having a closed-in lager mentality around our cultures and customs. But God is bigger than all of that. And He can break you out of it because He can put everybody in this new lager by faith. Chapter 12, he needs to now turn the practical aspects of the gospel into living out issues. So he reminds him and he says, in view of all these wonderful things, stop thinking so highly about yourself. Because you really are, at the end of the day, no better or no that much different from everybody else. And God has put you in His body, and the toe needs the finger, and the elbow needs the knee, and the neck needs the shin, and you're part of this beautiful body. So learn to start loving one another, because that's the fulfillment of the law. Stop judging one another. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Come on, there's a way to live out this gospel in a community that is so attractive to a world that is dislocated and cannot be reconciled to each other. This message is for marriages as much as it's for churches. The gospel can bring different people together into harmony around this beautiful message of the gospel. Communities that are different can be brought together. Even nations. That's why we're told to disciple the nations. Because nations can be brought together around this beautiful message of the gospel. There will be unity in this planet in the name of Jesus Christ. On this earth, there will be as the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Stop judging one another, he says. Stop picking up offenses over every little thing that someone does that's different to how you would do it. Get over yourself. Get over if this one is allowed to eat meat, and that one's allowed to go to the movies, and this one has DSTV, and that one doesn't, and this one dances, and that one sits, and that one shouts, and that one looks like they ran in from a marathon this morning, but that one looks like a three-piece suit. And get over differences and judging one another. And don't go out of your way to offend other people. If you know they don't like something and it upsets them, stop it. So now he's finished his letter. But he's got something to do still. And that was my introduction. Now he's got something to do. He wants to... You need your Bibles for this one, okay? If you were in your Bible, you've gone from 1 to 15. You can now cross over to chapter 16. Is that okay? You've had a whole run from 1 to 15 this morning, okay? Get that on CD. Put it in your car. It'll only take you 10 minutes. By the time at work, you've read the whole of Romans. Come on. Romans chapter 16. What's he going to do now? He's done it all. Shown them the gospel, shown them the collision of cultures, and shown them how to live this thing out. Well, he's going to say a few things about a couple of his mates. You see, this is what's so beautiful here. I mean, when last did you read chapter 16 word for word? Any of you? Some of you are looking at me like you don't have your Bible. You got your Bible, it's open. Chapter 16 in front of you. Who last read the whole chapter? Anyone this year? This year? I'm impressed. There's a couple of people. Okay. Doesn't make for great reading, but you're going to see something different here. Okay, are you with me? Are you all? Okay. Oh, I needed to be open in my Romans 16 as well. Will that come up? It will come up shortly. Okay. So, Romans chapter 16, we're going to go through this quickly. From verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Caesarea. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Verse 5. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Christ in the province of Asia. Verse 6, greet Mary, who worked very hard among you. Verse 7, greet Adonicus and Junius, my relatives who've been in prison with me. Verse 8, just catch myself up here. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative, and those in their house, the household of Narcissus. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Say they worked hard. Nothing wrong with hard work. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard. He sounds like Yonki Cha. Yonki Cha said, the best men in my church are the women. Verse 13, here's a guy. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Greet, he hasn't come up yet, okay. Verse 13, and then verse 14. Greet Asenicritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with him. And the brothers with him. See, he also forgot names sometimes. Hey, brother. Sister. Wait. Verse 15. Coming to an end now. greet Philologus, Julia. Hey, any Julias out there? Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints, just in case he missed anybody out here, and all the saints. Just, you know, you don't want to miss anybody out. You see, this chapter, quite strange after so much theology. He's like, he's grounding it back in the fact that the church is really made up of people. It's really made up of individuals. And these people are special. And here in our church, it's really made up of people. Maybe we're slightly different names. And someone said amen. So we're going to look at a few of these, Graham. Are you ready to good to go? Okay, we'd like to appreciate some of the people who make our church happen on Sunday. Limited a little bit to Sunday because there's so much going on. First of all, I think we've got the best worship team any church could want. We love Dom and Rhoda. We love Michelle and Davey, our very own Davey, and all the Betsy's and Rob and Janine. I mean, oh, Ronnie, soon to be Ronnie in Gauteng. These guys have just blessed us over the year. The whole worship team. Come on, if you're involved in any part of the worship, the musicians and the singers, stand to your feet. We just want to give you a round of applause and say, thank you guys for being a blessing to us. We love you. You're special. Amen. And then we've got this other group of people. Hey, Crazy and Caroline, you look so good there. Hey, B and Sush, we love you guys and all the money you take from us every Sunday. The fun of Mavis and the Pattersons. Who's at the back there? Chris and Candy, been on holiday for a while. If anyone loves them, just give them a call and remind them how much you love them. And the Petties, I saw the Petties here this morning, I think. Such special people. And the Harrises, oh, we all love the Harrises. Come on, if you're involved in any of the serving, ushering, taking up the offering, setting up communion, on your feet, we want to just appreciate you this morning and say, well done. We love you. You guys make this church a different church. We appreciate you tons. I keep the best for nearly last. Man, that machine in the corner there was just of the Lord and anointed. And I mean with Irene and Carol and Lovely there in the back. And our very own Sue. I mean, these ladies are so special. I missed one there. There's Trish and Irene again. And all the ladies. And love you guys tons. And all the sisters and all the brothers and all the others. And Madan. Is Madan here this morning? He's making such a nice cup of chino at the moment. Okay, love you too. All the coffee bar people, on your feet, come on. Yeah. We make the best coffee. I just want to get a picture of you clapping, and then I'll post it as you were clapping for my sermon this morning. Okay, and then security. Good to know we're safe and sound. Hey, Zama, and Victor. And Albert and Justice and all the brothers and special guys who look after us, and we love them. And by the way, the church does pay them on a Sunday. They're not like car guard, as in car guards. They employed you to work on a Sunday. By all means, bless them. But just so you know that they are part of the team. Are any of the ushers in the service? I mean, the security guys. Zama, where are you, Chief? Ah, King Zama, Chief of Security. Hey, we appreciate what you do, brother. We love you lots. Let's not forget the bookshop, Caroline, coming in there again. And Stephen, Elena, you guys do such a good job. And love you guys, Graham, and all, Caroline, all you, all the bookshop people, where you stand to your feet. We want to thank you tirelessly, week after week after week, Stevie. And yes, on your feet. Just because there was no photo of you, I didn't think of you, brother. Then the kids zone, they are doing the kids zone right now. They got a big party there this morning, jumping castles. That's why the church is so empty. Half the parents are in the water on that side. Okay, our very own Jade. These guys work tirelessly around the clock. We love them. And Beauty is just a beauty. And Honey. And is she here this morning? Any of the Children's Church workers, on your feet. If you work in Children's Church, come on your feet. I know you're there. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you guys. Love you guys. Appreciate it. And then, really, keeping the best for last. Because these guys are just, it's a kind of a mercy giving week after week. No one sees them behind the scenes. These are the sound guys. As you can see, they even in pictures, they're behind the scenes. Johnny and Andrew, who just does so much that nobody knows about in this church. And it was his 21st yesterday. Go, Andy. Andy serves faithfully with a smile. He's just mature beyond his years and his age, and we really appreciate all he does in this church and for our young people. You and Jen, as a couple now, are just amazing. Jen, so thank you so much for marrying Andrew. It's just amazing to have them with us. And, oh, come on. Does it get any better than that? Oh, Graham, you beaut. Love you, Graham. Yeah, Graham, we love you. And Darren, and who's become a man. And Johnny there. Johnny, if people knew how much you're a blessing behind the scenes, they would. Oh, and then Gareth. Come on. Gareth. Who can leave out Gareth? Gareth, all the sound guys on your feet. We just want to appreciate you. We want to love you. We want to say thank you. We want to say you're amazing, guys. And what would our church be without you? Visitors, you will be warmed by Steve and Charmaine and Shane and Helena, who are away, and all the other beautiful people who make the visitors team here, Shane and Helena, all those involved in the visiting teams. On your feet. Thank you. I think, yes. Ah, thank you. Thanks, Raymond. Thanks, Robbie. And you guys, I see your pictures never got through last week to the poor girl stressing out, making sure. Because there's some pictures that have been left out, and they're not just other, they're very special people. I think of the likes of Stephen Jabert. Man, Steve, you're amazing. Behind the scenes, what you do in the life of the church, we really appreciate you. There's other people I just didn't see in the photos, Ryan and Jason in the library, and I've probably left out a few more like yourselves. The Wilsons, you guys are really special. You've been faithful sons of the house, and appreciate you. Stacks. God's cupboard. I mean, what would Christmas be without God's cupboard? So if you are in any of the welcoming teams or those names are mentioned by name, and of course our very own Bev and Mark, forgot your surname, please stand up now. Nielsen, on your feet, come on, we want to give you a big thank you behind the scenes. Appreciate what you guys do. The elders. Isn't that a great picture? Dave and Louise, I have to pause here for a moment and say, church, this is the most amazing couple that have lived sacrificially for the last 25, 28 years. This little highway Christian church started in their garage in Cowies Hill, in a little garage relating to Hatfield Church, where the next three pastors were going to come from. And they've just held the fort with serving, with graciousness, with love, with becoming good friends to all three succession of leaders leading in this house. And a couple of years back, we were going through some turmoil with grace and letting some people go that had to go and making the transitions around the gospel. They offered to come back. Did you offer or did I ask? I think it was a bit of both. To come back and just stand with us during that time. And they have, faithfully. And behind the scenes, they just get on with stuff. And we really appreciate you guys, Dave and Louise, what you've done for this house. Only the rewards in heaven will show what this couple have meant for this local church. And then, of course, I mean, it goes without saying, There's only one person who loves preaching more than him in this church, and it's the next slide. That lady over there. Janet's away. As you know, her father died, and she's at the funeral. She's driving back tomorrow, so she would love to have been here. And yeah, come on, the Prestons. Yeah, thanks for your friendship and your perseverance and your love. And we really, let's all stand up and give a hand now. Just do the, thank you, Lord. Thank you for these beautiful leaders. Thank you for this beautiful church. Thank you. And as we take our seats, I want to ask you this question now. How would Paul conclude and finish now that he's mentioned these names, that he's honored these people who need honoring, that he's reminded the church that it's the people that make the church happen, that Highway wouldn't be Highway if the finger didn't do the part and the toe didn't do the part and the elbow and all these beautiful gifts. And let me mention, I probably left out a few here. This does always happen. It's a risk I run with something like this. Just be secure and know that you are special to Jesus. I haven't mentioned the ministries that are outside of Sunday. This is more the coming together. We're much more than a church of just Sunday. We're apostolic. We are in life groups. We are around youth and children. We are around other partnerships in prayer But Sunday is an important time for us to get together. And I'm going to finish the last two verses of this chapter. But maybe we can stand up for the reading of this. And I tell you why, because this last verse, in the construction of the original language, the Greek language, this phrase is a phrase to get your attention. It's a phrase to put prominence on this last statement that's about to come up. That we call it a doxology. It's where the writer takes a deep breath and he uses the words now to him. Dot, 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 fill in the blanks. And then he says, be the glory. You see, it's not to Paul, dot, 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 be the glory. It's not to the people in the church, dot, dot, be the glory. It's not even to the message he was speaking about, be the glory. A doxology means everyone quiet for just long enough to hear a pin drop and hear these words, now to him. Now to him who's able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages. Be glory. Be glory forever. And there are four or five times in the scripture where Paul uses this construction. And now to him, dot, 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 be the glory. When all else is said and done and everyone has done their bit and we've all had fun and got over fences and paid the bills and had our time, the last thing we should remember, the last words that should be resounding, that's why the doxologies were left for the end. And it carried that prominence. And now, to him, be glory forever. Through Jesus Christ. And that would just erupt in the reader's heart with Christ-centered, God-centered, Trinity-adoring acclaim. And I've asked the musicians just to come up and just in this place of to God be the glory, you lead us.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name.
just praise to your name, oh Lord. If you're standing here this morning and you're not certain that you've been born again into this body of Jesus Christ, His church, and you say this morning, I don't want to face another year without knowing the assurance of being saved. And I want to lead you in a prayer this morning, just sentence by sentence. I'll ask the church to repeat it as well, just to encourage you. But you're not speaking to us. You're speaking to God Almighty this morning. And as you pray this, make it yours. And I want to ask, not too much moving around right now, please. Say after me, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. The gospel is all about Jesus. His perfect life, His perfect death, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven for me, who could never live the perfect life, who could never die the perfect death, who could have never been raised again, and therefore never ascended into heaven. It's all about Jesus. Dead, buried, and raised. I put my faith in His perfect life for me. By His blood, by His precious blood, the blood of the new covenant, I have been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been purified. I've been transformed into a new body, the body of Jesus here on earth, His headship over my life, but me, His body. Right now, I want to say to those of you who prayed that for the first time, just look up at me. Look up right now. Make eye contact with me. Because in a moment, I'm just going to look in your direction. When I do, I want you to just identify by raising your hand a bit so I know who I'm praying for. I want to pray for people who prayed that prayer intentionally with faith this morning. I want to join my prayer with you and pray for you right now. If I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, just raise your hand high enough so I can identify. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anyone here, if I'm looking at you right now, just raise your hand high enough so I know who I'm praying with. Thank you, Lord. Anybody on this side of the church? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody here? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm going to forget from when I started to when I end. Right now, I want you to do a bold but important thing. Step out of your seats and come and stand in front so I can pray with you. Yeah? In the front of the church. Come right now. Don't think about it. That second voice is not the voice you listen to. Come with your first voice. Just come. Just come. Just come. We're clapping because we are partnering by faith. Face me. You can stand and face me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there's a full gospel. There's full gospel. There are one or two others. We'll wait for you as you're coming. Just want to say you did a very brave thing now. You didn't do it for a church. You did it for the glory of God. To Him be the glory. But there's a message in the gospel that says, by faith, you have a new standing with Almighty God. Not based on your righteousness, not based on what you have done or haven't done, what church you've been to, what church you haven't been to, but because what Jesus did perfectly in your place. When you believe on that for yourself and receive it, you stand as if it was standing next to Jesus, shoulder to shoulder, in the same righteousness, with the Father smiling at you saying, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Before you've done anything good, before you've done any joined any church, or you've already joined the church because you've been born again into the church. And then you find a local body where you live out this newfound faith. So I want to say to you, well done. And church, as we reach out to these dear folk here this morning, we just say, God bless you. God, just make His grace come upon you. I need another lady standing over here. Just God bless you and keep you. I need another gentleman standing over here. Thank you, Jesus, for these precious, precious people that you got your hand upon, that you brought here today with destiny and with purpose. And now to those standing in front here, I want to say, don't you want to just lift your hands up? I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to just come upon you. Church, can we pray in the Spirit right now? Just pray in the Spirit. As we're praying in the Spirit, Bible says they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. There's an empowerment that comes. You don't have to wait months for it. Right now, I say, be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be filled this morning. Be filled. Be filled this morning. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. And as they laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. How do they know? Because the Word of God assured them. And now just begin praying to God in your language. Just start saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Say it loud enough so you can hear yourself saying it. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, your blood cleanses me. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into me. Say it loud enough that your own ears can hear. And while you're speaking, if other words come, that's okay. That's also the Holy Spirit. Filled, 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 changed, healed, delivered, baptized, full of love, full of peace, full of joy. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood and your healing. To God be the glory. 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 Church, let's give the Lord a thanks this morning. We praise you, Lord. To you be glory and honor and praise and majesty forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Praise be to you. May you strengthen your people by the gospel. May you encourage your people by the gospel. May you establish your people in the gospel. May the presence of God be with you in a powerful way over this Christmas time, and be rested, because the best is yet to come, and the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water cover the... Come on, church, give Him praise this morning. Saved here into the family of Jesus. I want to say to the church, I want you to notice the people up here from different cultures, different backgrounds, different economic, social stratuses. But in this rainbow church, the gospel is what unites. The gospel is what transforms. And now I pray that may this gospel keep you strong to the glory of God. As we welcome these beautiful people into this church, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful week. See you tonight.